Well, good morning. Today's talk is about do not be afraid. Do not be afraid. Psalm 27 verse 1 says, "The Lord is the stronghold of my life. Of whom shall I be afraid?" Today's sermon is about being confident in the love of God, that perfect love that drives out all fear. So what is God's viewpoint on fear? Sometimes fear holds us back in our walk with God. Fear can affect us subconsciously or consciously. And the subconscious is the hardest to pin down, as you know. We just don't know anything is wrong. We react in a certain way when things happen. And we think that's normal. We think that's the way we are and the way things are. And that's okay. But only God can see the full viewpoint. Only God can see our full potential. And that's why we need his help to move forwards if fear or lack of confidence is holding us back. One of the difficult things in life is fear of the unknown. We just don't know what's around the corner. What might happen next makes us nervous, fearful. We're doing something new, doing something we've never tried before. For the agnostic, for the atheist, sometimes it's fear that holds them back from God. They don't want to admit to themselves that they've been wrong all these years. Or they don't want to admit that they might not be in charge of their own lives. Perhaps they've never been able to trust an important person in their lives. So how can they trust some unknown God? Maybe a parent treated them badly or didn't show the kind of love that they longed for. So if our own mum or dad didn't love us, didn't show us that love, didn't say, "I love you," then we might wall ourselves off a bit, or sometimes a lot. Then along comes a Christian who talks to us about a loving God, and God is love, and we subconsciously relate to that to our own experience of love from our parents. And if there was something missing from our parents, we just might dismiss the whole concept. And unless God can touch us in just the right place in our hearts, and some of us know exactly what that's like, maybe God took us through a crisis, a good crisis or a bad one, to achieve the breakthrough. Then maybe the atheist or agnostic just switches off, doesn't want to know. I was talking to a young man recently who was having trouble making a real commitment to God. He'd thought about it, talked about it, worried about it, but he hadn't prayed about it. Fear was holding him back from his walk with God. He needed some reassurance. So I reassured him. I said to him that God would only do things out of his very great love for this young man, that he will change our lives for the better if we'll let him. That God's love is endless and vast. And if we make a real commitment, body, mind and spirit, then God will do wonderful things in our lives. I expect that lots of people here had wonderful things happen in their lives because of God. Something that made us stand amazed. Has that happened to anyone here? I won't ask you to talk about it. Just put a hand up if it has. Has something about God amazed you? Yeah, most of us here. You know, there's a retired clergyman, Reverend John Wetton, lives down near Salisbury now. He used to teach at Harn Hill, and he told us of his Stand Amazed book. Whenever he saw something amazing happen that could only come from God, he'd write it down in his Stand Amazed book. And he collected these things throughout his life. And then if he felt down or oppressed or fed up or things just weren't going right, hang all this, you know, he'd suddenly think, hang on, get my Stand Amazed book out. And he'd read through those miracles he'd seen and remind himself of the power of God, the love of God, the amazing things that can happen when we put ourselves into his hands. Very powerful stuff. I wonder what we might put in our own Stand Amazed book. For when we wholeheartedly go with God, then the adventure begins. Way back in Genesis 26, God was talking to Isaac and said, "I am the God of your father Abraham. Do not be afraid." And sent him off to do things. God was encouraging his people thousands of years ago by saying, "It's okay, I'm here, trust me, I've got it. I love you, so don't worry." When we surround ourselves with the arms of God, with his love, with the Holy Spirit, the Comforter, right here inside us, What a confidence, what a certainty that brings. Now that word comforter, the meaning has changed over the centuries. Today we think, oh, it's a nice sort of soft cushion. It's a pillow, it's something you wrap around you. But if you look back at the Bayeux tapestry, one of the pictures there shows one of the kings encouraging his troops. He says, the king comforteth his soldiers. And he's prodding one in the backside with his spear. He's strengthening it. It comes from the Latin cum fortis, with strength. It's a strengthening thing. Not just a, it's all right, daddy's here or mummy's here. It's give you that strength inside, sort of comfort from the Holy Spirit. We can walk with God all the days of our lives, walk following Jesus, walk with him in us and us in him, and going through the difficulties with God. God doesn't say become a Christian and life will be all roses, but he does say, I'll be in it with you. I will never leave you. We all know that verse in Matthew 11:28. Come to me, all you who are weary and burdened, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and humble in heart, and you will find rest for your souls. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light. He's not making that up. It's the truth. It's one of the famous sayings from the Bible, and it's good to remind ourselves of it. When the going gets tough, we mustn't run away. The only way out is through. The only way out is through. Just think of that yoke. I don't know what sort of picture that gives you, but I think of the yoke that the oxen have, a pair of oxen. Me on one side, Jesus on the other. So we can let him take the lead, let him take the strain, and we're going along with him. The yoke is light. The burden is light. And that's when we see the problem from God's viewpoint. When we see God's bigger picture, we can let God take control. The only way out is through. Through the valley of the shadow of darkness, spoken of in Psalm 23. But it says, I will fear no evil, for you are with me. Your rod and your staff, they comfort me. They strengthen me. And if you remember in that psalm, the reward you get through when we get through the problems to the other side, you prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. And the real enemy is the devil. It continues, you anoint my head with oil, my cup overflows. Surely, goodness and love will follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. What a wonderful reassurance, a wonderful promise. So whatever the roots of our insecurity, we can take it to the Lord in prayer. Whatever the disappointments of life, take them to the Lord in prayer. God's timeless love can reach back into our past and release us from the distant pain, release us to become more like our Lord and Saviour, Jesus Christ. You might say easier said than done, and yes, healing of these things can take a long time, but it's well worth it. Find someone you can pray through with, perhaps on a long-term basis. Talk to Maura, she's looking after counselling. Or if you feel you need to go to people that perhaps aren't quite so close to the group here, there's Harm Hill just down the road. They have trained people, men and women of God. And they can come alongside us and pray into anything we want, in confidence and in the name and love of Jesus. So let's break free from old insecurities. Let's even find out if we still have some. Sometimes denial sets in. No, I'm all right. But I wonder. So we ask God to show us. You may have heard of a nun called Julian of Norwich, who lived just over 600 years ago. She was a semi-recluse who lived in a room attached to the cathedral and would talk to people through a window in the wall to the outside. She rarely went out, so they'd bring her food and look after her through there. But she spent a lot of time in prayer and got to know God and listen to God. And she wrote down her thoughts, her prayers, her experiences of God in what she called God's showings. God's showings. And she wrote a book, and she became famous for that because it's the oldest book written by a woman ever found in this country. And she was a kind of mystic. She had a wonderful closeness with God, and many people today try to emulate her journey with God. She lived in a time of fear, of hunger, plague, sickness, and death. And yet her closeness with God gave her that wonderful inner detachment of the holy life. So much so that in spite of the troubles of the land around her, she could write the words that helped to make her famous. All shall be well, and all shall be well, and all manner of thing shall be well. As Jesus said in John 14, do not let your hearts be troubled. Trust in God, and trust also in me. God wants to shape us, to make us more like Jesus. He is the potter, we are the clay, as the Bible tells us in Isaiah 64 and again in Jeremiah 18. So let us be willing to let him shape us. If we willingly give ourselves into God's hands, then let the adventure begin. It's like letting someone else drive while we sit in the passenger seat, or worse still, in the back. Unless a driver you've never trusted before, because you don't know what's going to happen or where he's going to go. I didn't become a Christian until I was 38. And up till then, I really did things my way. But since then, I more and more want God to drive, God to take the lead. It's not easy. Our old programming gets in the way. It takes a while to rewrite. But we do make progress. And when we come up against difficult situations, we need to ask ourselves a question. What is God trying to show me through this? Is there a lesson he wants me to learn? Because if so, then Lord, teach me. Show me, Lord. Many times Jesus tells us in the Bible not to be afraid. Do not fear. Do not worry. If he tells us not to, then fear must be a sin. Sin in its broadest definition. And to me, sin means doing anything that isn't the will of God. Bit scary, that. And that's why we all sin. We can't help it. We're not fully in tune with God the way Jesus was with his Father. But we're striving towards it. And that's why Jesus had to die. The only escape route to heaven. And we thank God for Jesus. Fear is a sin, and Ephesians 4:27 tells us, do not give the devil a foothold. Any foothold for the devil could mean he has a means to hold us back. Hold us back from our walk with God. And fear stops us doing things, doesn't it? If God asks us to do something, then we must trust that he will do it through us. Yes, through us, but in his strength, his might, his love. He says, I love you, so do not be afraid. So we need some kind of protection. God's love within us, his Holy Spirit within us, his armour around us. You probably know the armour of God passage in Ephesians 6, but let me remind you of it. Finally, be strong in the Lord and in his mighty power. Put on the full armour of God so that you can take your stand against the devil's schemes. If we're Christians and doing something meaningful for God, we're in the front line. And when we're in the front line, we will get shot at. That's the nature of it. So we take our stand against the devil's schemes. For our struggle is not against flesh and blood, but against the rulers, against the authorities, against the powers of this dark world, and against the spiritual forces of evil in the heavenly realms. Therefore, put on the full armour of God, so that when the day of evil comes, you may be able to stand your ground. And after you've done everything, to stand. Stand firm then with a belt of truth buckled round your waist, with a breastplate of righteousness in place, with your feet fitted with a readiness that comes from the gospel of peace. That means we're always ready to witness. In addition to all this, take up the shield of faith with which you can extinguish all the fiery arrows of the evil one. Take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God. So we need to be into the word, get to know what the Bible talks about, what it says, and the Spirit will remind us of the verses we need when we come up against situations. And pray in the Spirit on all occasions with all kinds of prayers and requests. Pray the Spirit-prompted prayer. Not, Lord, help me to do this, or I want to do that, help me do that. But what's your guiding for the prayer, Lord? What do you want me to pray? With this in mind, be alert and always keep on praying for all the saints. Pray for one another. Saints means Christians. And pray also for me, that whenever I open my mouth, words may be given me, so that I will fearlessly make known the mystery of the gospel, for which I am an ambassador in chains. Pray that I may declare it fearlessly, as I should. So those last two verses, if you've got the feeling of an evangelist in you, that prayer is for you, that words may be given, so that you fearlessly make known the mystery of the gospel. I do recommend we all learn the armour of God and pray it on. Use it as a prayer. Pray on the armour of God twice a day if we need it. If things feel like they're getting against us, if you're feeling got at, pray that prayer morning and night. Let's start to go. No demon frightens me while I stand firm in Jesus Christ. One of the many great Christians that I have a particular respect for is a Baptist minister called Oswald Chambers. He died about 90 years ago as a fairly young man. But in his short life he set up a Bible college, a ministry training college for Baptist ministers in London. During World War I he was a chaplain with troops in North Africa, and he used to give talks to the men on a regular basis. His wife took all his talks down in shorthand. She could write full speed. And they were published as broadsheets. Now broadsheets, like a very simple newspaper, on a broadsheet of paper, we don't see them these days, but these would be handed out to the troops and passed on and read and passed on, because there's nothing else to read out there. So they were very popular. And after Oswald died, following an appendix operation, his widow was persuaded to publish his works. The troops said, come on, we need more of this stuff. You've written down all his talks. Could you publish something? So there are many books in print now, but my favourite is called My Utmost for His Highest. My Utmost for His Highest. It's a book of daily readings, and after the Bible, it's the most profound Christian book I've come across. Sell your house and buy a copy. It's quite short readings, but very deep. And one of his sayings in there is, in the life of a saint, meaning a Christian, in the life of a saint there's no such thing as chance. No such thing as chance if you're a Christian. That means that if we've given our lives to Christ, if we've invited Jesus to take charge in our lives, then nothing will happen by chance. Situations will arise by his plans, by his call. And it's our responsibility to be aware of it, to respond in prayer and in tune with God. What's he trying to show me? What's he want me to do, if anything? How does he want me to respond? And we mustn't be afraid when we do so. God wants the best for us and for his kingdom. And if he has a project on the way, then please, Lord, let me be part of it. The perfect love of God is so wide, so high, so deep. It's beyond our imagination. And nothing can separate us from the love of God. It says so in the Bible. Absolutely nothing. 1 John 4:18 says, perfect love drives out all fear. So if something's trying to hold us back through doubt, fear, uncertainty, we must remember that perfect love of God. Proverbs 29 verse 25 says, fear of man will prove to be a snare. If other people bring a fear reaction in us, that's a snare. So what's the psalm writer's response? Psalm 56, when I'm afraid I will trust in you, in God whose word I praise, in God I trust, I will not be afraid. There's a lot of power in those psalms. Does God really know us so well? Does he really care so much? Listen to Jeremiah 1. Before I formed you in the womb, I knew you. Before you were born, I set you apart. Do not be afraid, for I am with you. So the trick is to stay in tune with Jesus and get his perspective on what is happening around us. I'd like to finish with a paragraph from a biography of Derek Prince, one of the great Christian teachers of the last century. The passage dates back to 1942, and Derek was in the Army Ambulance Unit in North Africa. He'd been a Christian only 3 years, and he'd spent about a year living in the desert. You can imagine what that's like. There's not a lot to do, except as an ambulance man pick up the pieces of war. In the desert of Africa, Derek learned to pray in tongues and interpret himself as a normal part of his Christian life. Because praying in tongues required nothing of his mind, he could do it quietly while he worked. Days would go by with Derek praying for hours and hours in tongues, beyond his concentrated prayer times in English. Then suddenly it would happen, he'd become aware that a meaning was forming itself in his mind. Framed by the syllables he'd been streaming in a near whisper, perhaps while packing supplies or servicing the truck. It was God speaking to him through his own words. On one occasion, God would explain a passage of scripture. On another, God would warn Derek about some practical matter, such as the need to rest for a day, or to notice a hole in the water tanks, or there's a mine over there, be careful, and there was. With time, Derek learned to listen and obey, always scanning the silence for the entrance of the voice from God. Sometimes the voice came in comforting tones of instruction, sometimes it came in rebuke. On one occasion, Derek had been complaining in prayer, "God, why aren't you near to me? Why must I continue in this monotonous, wearisome life in this desert?" Then came the voice of God in response, "Why have you not thanked me? Why have you not praised me?" Derek knew that his complaining had given rise to an unthankful heart, one that was sure to bind him to God's goodness and block the good things God intended for him. Derek began to be thankful, singing songs and praying prayers focused on God's goodness. As he later said, "I adjusted my life and I learned the discipline of giving thanks and praising God in every situation and circumstance. Do you know what I discovered? My circumstances did not change, but I did. When I changed, then my view of my circumstances became different too." And I think that's so true. I'd like to close with one sentence from Jesus in Luke 12. "Do not be afraid, little flock, for the Father has been pleased to give you the kingdom." Amen.